everyone.
This is Two Girls, One Ghost.
Two Girls, One Ghost. And I'm wearing my blazer, which means we mean business. We are your ghostesses. That's Corinne.
Hello.
I'm Sabrina. We kind of are color coordinated. Your hat matches my hair.
That's true. I have a little pink in my hair now, too, or on my head.
Yeah, we are
and
one.
I am wearing the opposite of what you're wearing, which is a sweatshirt, no bra, just giving full Hagrid vibes.
Don't worry, I'm not wearing a bra, and I've got the sweatpants on.
Okay, great. At least we're there together.
We're comfy cash.
We're comfy cash because this episode is a little different.
It's a special
than what
one
we've
for
done
us.
Before. We're still going to tell ghost stories that are sent in from listeners, but we've been doing this for almost 7 years, and there have been multiple times throughout those 7 years that we reference emails that were sent to us before that we've read, stories that we keep coming back to. And so we thought it might be interesting to revisit just a few of those emails that we've received and reread them so that people basically have like almost like a little glossary of a couple of the tales that were like, oh, that reminds me of this person's email.
Exactly.
So that is what we're going to do. Stories that have stuck with us.
I feel like this should be a two-parter where we do part one now and then we do part two closer to our podcast anniversary. And this is
that's a good idea.
Because there's just so many that, and I posted on our Patreon asking people for their favorite stories from over the years. And there's just so many.
I know. Well, and it's like, it's hard because it's people connect to different things. So it's like the ones that I remember might be different than the ones that you remember and what other people are suggesting.
Yeah, I feel like there are certain stories that really stick out to us. And then there are the ones like Rick from Dominus episode 12 that just will never be forgotten because of how they've impacted our listeners. Now thinking about the fact that we've been doing this for 7 years, what if something happened, like kind of like in The Ring, like you have 7 days? I feel like we're reaching a point as we're approaching the 7 year mark that something haunting is going to happen.
My stomach just kind of like churned and gurgled. I don't like the thought of that.
You have 7 years.
Oh.
To do what, Sabrina? Because I've put this onto myself and onto ourselves.
Yeah, wait, why am I getting looped into this? I haven't agreed yet. What's the punishment? It does feel like it has to be something bad.
Okay, maybe it's not a punishment. Maybe it's a manifestation that we will create and something very good will happen.
Okay, that is extremely broad. I like that. Let's you're such a good fortune teller, Sabrina. Something will be created that is good in your future.
I see something in your future, but I don't know what it is, but there is a future for you. That will be $1 billion, please.
The air, I sense it's warm where you'll be.
Yes.
Okay, well, everyone will experience that.
I do. I sense that, and I see people.
And a very a motherly energy, but not necessarily a mother or anyone related to you, just someone who shows you kindness.
But Olivia Benson.
Dun, dun.
I like how this became a group reading for no one in particular. But we're here nonetheless. And let us know what you think is going to happen in 7 years. There are some of you out there who are far more powerful than we are. And while we are baby witches in the beginning, early days of our journeys, some of you are full-on witches.
Full-ass witches. Full-fledged.
Full-ass.
Full-bodied witches.
I like the idea of full-ass. Like, you and I don't have full asses yet.
No, no. We're working on inflating them.
Forget Brazilian butt lifts. Get a full-ass witch-ass butt with us.
I saw something disturbing on TikTok the other day, and I didn't dig any deeper into it, but apparently there's a smell associated with people who have BBLs. Like, not long after someone has a BBL, there's, like, a certain scent to them, and people can tell.
I'm picturing the smell of, like, those little, like, beads that come in like shoe boxes or like with clothes that is kind
the
of like a bit
silica
plasticky
that absorb all of the moisture. Yeah
I feel like there's like a weird
do they
silicone
have a scent.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of like not necessarily Play-Doh because Play-Doh. I actually like the smell.
I was almost
Play-Doh.
Just about to say Play-Doh.
Actually, have you ever eaten Play-Doh? It's very salty. I don't recommend it, but
of
if you
course
ever wanna
you were the kid that ate Play-Doh. But you didn't chew on your Polly Pockets, so I'm confused.
True.
You were unpredictable.
Still am, baby. even to myself. But back to encounters. Basically, we decided to pick some of our favorites from over the years. And I want you to start, Corinne.
Okay. I'm going to start with one that I've definitely referenced a few times, but it just still, I feel like coming off of ACOTAR and just for the love of fairies, this one has always made me kind of think about what is the potential of encountering something like this.
Okay.
So this story was sent in to us and originally read on Encounters episode 124, which came out on Halloween in 2021.
Oh, okay. I do like that we have record of when these were originally read so that people can go back and re-listen and see. Because I don't even know, like, is our reaction to it going to change because it's been 2 years?
Is it
going to
be the same? Because we still have no answers.
Or it'll be the exact same. Yeah.
Right. This person is anonymous. I have no idea if in the original reading of this we gave them a nickname, but I'm just going to call them A for anonymous. Hi there, ladies. I have a doozy of a story for you. In 2018, I decided to go off the grid. I was fed up with people only admiring my appearance and caring nothing for my mind or my spirit, and I realized my social circle was made up of nothing but shallow people, and it was my time to say goodbye. My main motivation for disappearing was escaping a stalker situation, and I quit all social media. I deleted my email. I'm using my friend's email to write this, and it was one of the best decisions that I had ever made.
You know what? I kind of love that you're reading this right now, because where I was in my life 2 years ago is so different from where I am in my life today. Mm-hmm. And this might be the inspiration I need to up and move.
Yeah.
Up and vanish.
There is so much power in restarting. Like, I've told you that a million times because it's like when I moved to Boston, at the time that I'd made the decision to move to Boston, I didn't actually know anyone that lived in Boston. It worked out that I had friends that moved there and I started to build a social circle there, but I got to be really hard on myself and be like reflecting on every single day and behavior and choice that I was making and being like, well, is this the person I'm trying to build myself to be? And I was, you know, crying every day, but
but almost feeling that low and that deep sadness is what allows you to like recenter and actually get to the nitty-gritty of what you want in your life.
Right. And there's no one else kind of not necessarily like holding you back, but like there's no one else being like, oh, well, this doesn't feel like you. This, you know, like you get to choose.
Only up to you. Yeah.
It's only up to you. You're your own Sims maker and you are the Sims character. And
except for I want you to be my Sims controller for just like just a little bit.
I have asked you if I could control your life for just a few months, but that wouldn't be.
And I would love for you to. How do we make this happen?
Well, because I can't actually make you do anything.
Become me for like just take over, possess me, just a light level possession. You're welcome to take over
light
my
level. We'll light see level. How it goes.
A consensual possession.
Yeah, you know, I could just kidnap you and do things.
I'm gonna grab a little visitor real quick.
Okay.
Hello,
a baby. No way. How? What did you dream of?
Fairies.
Fairies in her little sleep sack. She's so cute.
You want to hang out and listen to some ghost stories?
Yeah. I'm going to tell you a fairy tale, Noemi.
Okay. We're listening.
I quit all social media. I deleted my email. I'm even using my friend's email to write this. And this was one of the best decisions I've ever made. I was lucky enough to find an isolated cabin for super cheap in Michigan's Upper Peninsula. And I was able to get it fixed enough before my first winter there, which was brutal, in case you didn't know. I'm a fiercely independent woman of 38, and I'm pretty handy, and I was able to take the rundown cabin from something out of a Twin Peaks nightmare to a cute and cozy meditation station.
I want photos.
I know. I just got the electricity hooked up before the weirdness began. It was November, and snow had been on the ground for over a month. At night, I began to be awoken by the sound of big winged insects. I flipped on the light, and I saw nothing. This began to happen every night, and I'm an animal lover, but really have no compassion for insects. That said, I completely freaked out that night when I woke up to something buzzing in my hair. It seemed as if it was this huge dragonfly that was tangled up in my long black hair, and so I leaped out of bed. I instantly slipped on the smooth hardwood floors, and my fluffy wool knee socks, combined with my hysteria, were to blame for the fall. I pulled the intruder out of my hair.
I mean, I would freak out if this happened.
Ew. Because I would also think like spider or something, you know, because it feels big.
cut all my hair off after that.
Yes. Yeah. Immediately go to the bathroom and shave your head.
Goodbye.
Matching haircuts with you, Noemi.
Yeah. We'll have a little bald head like you.
I pulled the intruder out of my hair. Curiosity won over disgust, and I decided I needed to look at my catch. It did resemble a huge dragonfly, but with one obvious difference. It had a human head.
Was it still alive?
I think so.
That's horrifying.
If I had neighbors, my scream certainly would have gotten the police called. When I screamed, I let go of the thing and it darted under the bed. Okay, yes, it was alive. I fumbled for a flashlight with my shaking hands, not aware yet of the bruise forming on my thigh and my elbow. I got down on my hands and my knees and I shined the light beneath the bed. The one in my hair had joined the hundreds of others under the bed. Not one to be fucked with, I declared war, and I immediately went to go get my huge industrial shop vac. I spent the rest of the night and the whole next day sucking up these little beings. It must have been this surreal scene to behold, because this vacuum has a 4-inch diameter hose and might as well be powered by a jet engine. Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S., with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S., including me and Sabrina, I just planted 4 endless summer hydrangeas in my front yard. And I'm so excited because I've never owned a hydrangea before, but I was like, now's the time to do it.
It's so amazing. And they have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. And if you're like me and don't have a green thumb, they have experts at Fast Growing Trees that, one, curate thousands of plants so you can find the perfect fit for your specific climate, location, and needs. And they have in-house experts ready to help you make the right selection with growing and care advice available 24/7. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever.
This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code TGOG at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code TGOG at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code TGOG. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply.
Wait, so it took the whole night and the whole next day to get these, get all of them.
To find them all, yeah.
Also, what a strange, I don't remember the detail of like the whole infestation under the bed.
Oh, really? I remember every word of this email.
I remember the vacuuming it up.
Yeah. And then what's soon to come? Do you remember like when they get on the road?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. After the first couple hours, the shaking and the crying stopped and I actually started enjoying myself. Only twice did one of these little buggers touch me again, latching on to my flannel nightshirt or my wool socks, the only clothing that I had on. I made damn sure that none of them got close to my face or my hair. It turned into this bizarre game of hide and seek, and I became the seeker as soon as I switched on the vacuum. They were scared, and rightfully so.
Yeah, don't mess with A.
I sucked them up 2 or 3 at a time. Some were the size of moths, which disappeared up the nozzle as soon as I pointed it in their direction. Others had the girth of small birds, and I could feel the hose shake as they passed through.
Oh, gosh.
If I got 4 or more on the end of the nozzle, they would clog the end for a moment before their bodies were smashed together and forced in by the suction. These were the only ones that died, I think. And yes, I could see their human faces screaming. Some male, some female, looking, and I wasn't about to discriminate. I could hear plenty of them rambling around in the barrel-sized canister, and after a few hours of making sure that they were all gone, I loaded up the vacuum into my pickup and headed for town. Certainly, I'd made my biggest discovery in human history. I believe they may have been fae folk, fairies, though I'm not really certain to this day.
What else could they be?
I don't know. They have human heads. They're like, yeah, you can tell the difference between male and female ones. They're screaming. They're probably making eye. Oh my God, I can't even imagine the terror of them. And then also the terror to like experience that and have them infest your home.
I think I would have run out of the home. Like, I don't know that I would have had the bravery to do all of that.
I think I would have freaked out with it in my hair, then holding it in my hand, probably freaked out. And then as someone who was raised on a fairy tale and movies and shows like that, and it was like my dream to encounter a little tiny pixie like that, I think I would have taken maybe an hour outside to calm down and then re-gone in and been like, let's be friends. How do I make this a part of my life?
Right. Because, I mean, they chose to show up in A's place. So what did they want?
Right. And it's not like this person had just moved into the cabin either. Like, they spent some time fixing it up. Although it was winter and it was really harsh. And I wonder if there was some sort of like migration pattern or travel that they were doing and they needed to seek shelter. And that just happened to be, it was a secluded cabin. Like, what are the chances there's a bunch of other places available to them?
Ooh, that's such a good point. I wonder if prior to A moving into this place, it had been abandoned for a really long time. And so they had been using this place as their stopping ground.
It was a stop on the way. Oh my gosh. Honestly, if I were one of the Fae folk, I would be so livid at the one that went and got tangled in her hair.
I know.
Because I'd be like, you ruined it for all of us. We would, like, your choices killed some of our people. En route to the police station, it was as if I hit this huge bump or just landed a huge jump with my truck because I lost control of the truck. I spun out into a ditch. I emerged dazed, though unharmed. And to my horror, the vacuum was gone. I searched everywhere. I was freezing as I didn't bother throwing on my coat or my pants when I was heading there. And I pulled up my socks so that they almost met the bottom of my nightshirt. And I just headed for home. If I didn't have boots on, I probably would have gotten frostbite. And that's it. That's the story of an almost captured Fae, some potential murders, and a very spooked person.
And very spooked Fae. I mean, the fact that they were able to manipulate the car and then disappear. It's not that they vanished from the vacuum. The entire vacuum was gone.
It makes me wonder, like, what is controlling them? Because I feel like if they had the power to do all of that with the car and the vacuum be removed, they wouldn't have allowed hours and hours of this person sucking them up with a vacuum, trapping them. It feels like something else, another force, something more powerful came and stopped and collected their fairies.
Ooh,
what if these are maybe pets?
Oh, that's interesting. I was thinking, like, what if there's, like, the more powerful queen bee of the fairies, you know, who came to save her colony?
Yeah, that could be.
What do you think, Noemi? Do you want to eat the microphone?
It's hard to wrap your mind around.
It does
feel like you would know out of anyone, Noemi, because you've most recently been to the other side.
Yeah, well, I hope that those fae are okay. I mean, I think we lost some fae lives that day.
I think some died. It's hard to know what you would do in that situation, though, because there is so much fear. You're alone in a cabin. There's, like, you're already so scared. Like, picture thinking, for you and I, we're such arachnophobes. Picture thinking that it's a spider. Getting the spider out of your hair and then that spider having a human face. Like, no. I probably would also try to kill all of them.
But see, that's the thing is, like, if I already can't deal with any type of bug. If I were to then see it had a human face, and then see that there was an entire infestation of them, I think I would simply either perish or have, like, a full mental breakdown.
Yeah. How do you sleep the next day? Like, how do you ever
go back to your place?
Like, in peace, right? Because they're in the middle of nowhere. There's going to be a lot of noises of bugs and animals and just different things. I feel like I'd always be so on edge.
I agree. I don't love that. All right. Any final thoughts, Noe, before I pass you off to Nana? Nothing. But she likes the ghost stories.
There was nothing that came out of her mouth, but I think she said a lot. She said all we need to hear.
Yeah. And she's like, I love your podcast. I'm your number one fan. Keep doing
it. Thank you. Thank you, Noemi.
All righty. Let's go to Nana. It was really fun. I like having you with me while we record.
Honestly, I think recording with babies is my new favorite thing. This is one of those stories that I have read to people. Like, it's one of the encounters that after we read it on the podcast, anytime I was in a situation and people wanted to hear ghost stories, this is the story that I would pull.
You pull from the vault.
And it is from our listener, Tegan.
Oh, I know exactly what this one is.
You know exactly what it is.
Because I think you've probably said 100 times in the history of this podcast, this reminds me of Tegan's email. And here is Tegan's email.
We read this on Encounters 31.
Wow, this was so early. Tegan was one of our very first listeners then.
January 16th of 2019 is when we released this episode. Hi, guys. I love the podcast, and I thought I'd share this one. I hope you enjoy it. Keep up the awesome work.
Thanks.
My name is Tegan, and I have a brother who is a couple years older than me. We've always been really close. His name is Danny, and we love to go camping together whenever we can. Sometimes we'll rent a log cabin on a lake somewhere for our vacations together, but we're also both outdoorsy types, so we usually elect to go hiking or fishing and set up tents somewhere instead. Last fall, in early October, we did exactly this and made our way out to this gorgeous sprawl of forest in New England to spend a few days nature walking and making sausages over a fire and listening to podcasts like yours. It's sort of how we bond now that we're both adults and have separate lives that seem to be drifting further and further apart every year.
I forgot that this happened in New England, and I need Tegan to tell us where.
I'm about to tell you because we did ask that question.
Oh,
and Tegan
and we got
said
the follow-up.
We were at the Miles Standish State Forest in Carver, Massachusetts.
Okay.
Do you know where that is relative to you?
No, I bet it's probably out like near the Berkshires, Western Mass. Let me look. Carver, Massachusetts, you said?
Yeah. Tegan said, I've looked into it, and apparently there have been a few unsolved murders in those woods, along with several paranormal experiences reported.
Oh, wait, this is not where I thought it was. This is, Carver is just below the Bridgewater Triangle. It's over by Plymouth.
So maybe
Plymouth
there
Rock.
Is like an extension. Maybe there's like a trickle of the triangle, the kidney bean.
Miles Standish State Forest. Catch me there.
Will we after this, though?
That's true. That's true. I know what's coming. I don't know why I said that.
Our most haunted friends, all of you who listen to this podcast, we created this special song for you with the help of Songfinch, and we're going to play a quick clip of it for you. But first, we want to tell you all about Songfinch. Songfinch lets you create an original radio quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever. And let me tell you, it is the most thoughtful and unique gift.
And the process is so simple. Basically, you just tell them who the song is for, what kind of style of song you want. You share some personal details about your relationship. And then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days. They have unique add-ons, so you can get it on a vinyl record or a one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics, and you can also add your song to Spotify.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation, a wedding, or your most haunted friends on Patreon, like Corinne and I chose, or just to show a loved one how much you care, you can start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist. For a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/TGOG and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value. Again, our URL is songfinch.com/TGOG. Don't forget to share your song with us too, because we want to hear it. songfinch.com/TGOG.
Here's a quick clip for all of you.
We can't believe it's been 7 years of sharing ghost stories with you. From creepy and scary to downright weird, it's our favorite thing to do.
All right. Tegan says things were going great. The weather was perfect. The fishing was good. We were having a blast just hiking, taking pictures, and just talking all day. We set up our tent and built a fire and settled in for the night, drinking beers and lying around until about midnight. Danny seemed perfectly fine, and we'd brought our huge-ass tent that's technically made for like 6 people. So there was no jostling around for space for our sleeping bags or anything.
Nice. Beautiful, comfortable. Such an adult way to camp.
Yes. I was out like 10 minutes after we laid down, thanks to the beer and all the hiking earlier, plus the haunting calls of the odd loon or two that hadn't migrated for the winter. They have always been really soothing to me, and so once I heard Danny mumble, night, I was down for the count.
I do remember this too, because I have a loon call, and I'm assuming that when we first read this, I was like, oh, let me give you an example of a loon call.
Well, let's hear it.
Well, no, I can't do it with my hands. I've tried to learn the whistle thing forever. I have the whistle because I'm not talented enough to do the woo, woo, like with the whistle in your hands.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh my gosh, on the show Traders, they had this challenge where there are people out on the property and then there are other people in the castle. And the people on the property go and find birds and have to repeat the sound of the bird call back to the people at the house. And they have to like properly identify them. And it is so funny. They're like birds that sound like dogs. It's wild.
Oh my gosh, wait, I would love this. I need to watch this episode.
Yeah. Well, I think you would enjoy the show, but particularly that episode.
The birding episode.
Danny sounded as tired as I was, so I was planning on both of us sleeping all the way through until tomorrow morning. Usually we're both early risers and would try to beat each other to making the coffee and hash over the fire for breakfast. But for some weird reason, I felt oddly exhausted that night. All of this is why it struck me as really weird when I sort of kind of woke up in the middle of the night to find Danny's sleeping bag flat and him gone. So I assumed maybe he had to go pee or something, and I didn't think twice about it before falling back to sleep. I hadn't even heard him rustling about the tent, but I figured I just was tired and slept through it, and only his absence had eventually woken me up. I slept for a few more minutes, but then I was abruptly woken up again by the sound of Danny's footsteps just outside the tent, and weirdly, one of his hands pressing into the tent, creating an outline of the shape of his hand against the canvas.
No, that is too freaky.
I looked at it. And I said, Danny? For a long minute, Danny did not answer. And it looked like he was dragging his one hand across the surface of the tent for some reason, pressing into it like he was looking for a weak spot or something.
Oh, like I understand if it's so dark and you can't really see and you're looking for the zipper and you're kind of like trying to gently do it. But you would respond when your sister says, Danny, you say, oh, yeah, sorry. I just had to pee. I'm trying to get back in.
Yeah, like help me back in or something. My brother is very tall, about 6'5", so his hand was higher up than a person closer to my size might have been. That was my only indication that it was him, until he finally said, Tegan. That was it, just my name. And I was becoming increasingly creeped out at this point. It was pitch black outside and everything was bizarrely silent, which any campers who might see or hear this will know is highly suspect for a forest in early autumn or any time of the year for that matter. I could not hear any bugs, any birds, no trees rustling, no wind, nothing. And that was when it hit me. And I felt like I had been doused in ice water. My brother hasn't called me by my name in years. If ever. Ever since we were little kids, he called me Sissy because when our parents first explained that this was his new sister, he couldn't really work out the word. So he kept saying Sisser and Sissy. And they thought it was so cute. So after a while, everyone at home called me Sissy.
Ugh, I have chills again thinking of this. Because it's also like, how does the paranormal even know your name?
Danny even calls me Sissy when he texts me, when he calls me, when he messages me on Facebook. He calls me Sissy when we're hanging out, when he's referring to me in any way, even when he's talking to his friends about me. That's Sissy. My Sissy's coming with us tonight, etc. I truly cannot remember the last time he has said my name, Tegan, out loud. And there is literally no reason why he would randomly be using it right now in the middle of the night, in the middle of the woods.
Mm-hmm.
It occurred to me in that moment that whatever or whoever the hell was standing outside my tent right then was not my brother. I didn't know what else to do, though. So I said, Danny, what are you doing? Come on out, he said, instead of answering me. It's beautiful out here. Come look at the stars. I remember blurting out, I don't want to, before realizing how weird it sounded. But what he said next sounded even weirder. Tegan, come on out. I nearly shit myself when I heard it because not only was he dragging out the last word in this incredibly creepy sing-song tone, but his voice had also changed. At first, he did sound like my brother Danny, but on the last word, his voice went raw and guttural and harsh, like he was straining to get it out through a throat packed with sand and at least one octave deeper than he sounded before. Tegan, come on out. By now, I'd scrambled out of my sleeping bag and was up against the opposite side of the tent. I'd grabbed for my glasses so I could see better, but I wish I hadn't because I'm pretty sure whatever the fuck was outside of our tent had 7 fingers on the hand it was pressing into the side of the tent and dragging across the canvas. I was terrified that something had my brother, But like a coward, I stayed silent and I waited until whoever or whatever was outside seemed to give up and walked away. Its footsteps didn't even sound like Danny's boots anymore either, but rather a heavier, scraping walk that dragged through the dirt and leaves far more slowly than Danny's walks. Once I was sure it was gone and the birds and bugs started making noises again, I bolted from the tent to find Danny. He wasn't that far away, wandering through a patch of trees, calling for me, saying, "Sissy." I asked him what the hell had happened, and he demanded to know the same thing because he told me that he'd woken up to the sound of me calling him from out in the woods, asking him to come help me. I told him the whole story from my end, and he was like, no, we're out. Pack up your shit. I'll fire up the truck. Neither of us is superstitious by nature, but there was no denying the absolute madness of what we had both experienced. We hit the town by dawn, and to this day, neither of us can explain what happened that night.
I forgot some of the details of like what the creature seemed like from the outside. I remembered him being summoned out and Tegan also like something was trying to get Tegan out. It's creepy that so whatever it was got her brother, right? Like he exited the tent. He entered the woods.
Yeah.
But he must have not been the target. It was Tegan because they had all of the opportunity to take him. Or were they trying to get both?
I kind of feel like they were trying to get both, but because maybe he didn't fully go all the way through the woods. And I don't know.
I know.
And were there two entities? Was this like a tag team situation? Or is it just one entity that can manipulate multiple like realities at the same time? Which is like, well, then that's way too freaking powerful. And I don't like that.
I can't imagine the terror that he experienced too, thinking that his sister was in trouble and in the woods and him like going through the dark, trying to like every worst case scenario goes through your head. Is it a person? Is it an animal? Like all of that. But then she's just in the tent. I'm surprised he didn't look and see her in the tent.
Well,
but
that's the other thing.
Awoken out of the dead of sleep and maybe you're just confused enough to wander past.
Or like, was his reality so shifted that he also couldn't see her still sleeping there?
Mm.
But I guess if you're functioning on adrenaline, you hear your sister calling for help, maybe you just immediately react. You don't stop to think about it. Why would you stop to check if she's still there, you know, if you hear her outside?
Right.
So certainly.
And you're the brother, like you feel protective in that moment over your sibling.
Yeah, of course.
I don't think that this is maybe the answer, but I think a new perspective that I have from doing the podcast and now knowing that this is so close to the Bridgewater Triangle, there are aliens that are seen near the Bridgewater Triangle, and one of them is called a Pukwudgie, some sort of like cryptid alien creature.
Mm-hmm.
And it does try to speak English, and it is strained and it is awkward when it says it. And one of the examples that's shown in the Bridgewater Triangle documentary is about a man who was walking his dog down a back like dirt road street, and a little Pukwudgie alien creature comes out and goes, "I want you, Kia, Kia, like we want you, come here, come here." Right. And so it makes me wonder, like, is this some evolution of that creature? But the only thing that makes me say like, okay, well, it can't necessarily be a Pukwudgie is that those are smaller. And this thing seemed to be tall enough to be mistaken for her brother.
It's also so fascinating. I think we talked about this when, which is wild that I can potentially recall something from 2019. But I think we talked about this where it's almost like the entity called Danny out so that it could understand the sounds of his voice.
Oh.
And then that's why it took a while for the entity to even say anything to Tegan.
Yeah.
But then on to talk myself out of my own question is why wouldn't it have called her Sissy then? Or was it confused because it doesn't understand like the human emotion behind nicknames?
Yeah. Or when he was looking, was there one moment where he did say Tegan instead of Sissy?
Because he was concerned.
It's like in the terror. You know, sometimes when you're like so terrified or you're so angry, like someone's full name will come out.
But when Tegan did finally find Danny, he was calling her Sissy. So I don't know.
Right. Ugh. I'm glad they got out.
Yeah. Honestly, though, if Tegan were like, "Hey, Corinne and Sabrina, Danny and I want to go back to that spot. Do you want to come?" I think I'd say yes. No, I know I'd say
yes.
Yeah, but
I might sleep in my car.
That's fine. I think being able to like have a quick getaway is very important.
Yeah, and doors that lock, not just zippered nylon.
Although we also have that story from the listener whose partner was camping in sleeping in their locked car and potentially got abducted by aliens. So you're never
safe. There's an example of everything. I guess, although it's terrifying, I think the one thing that we can maybe find some comfort in is when it comes to the paranormal, you didn't do anything wrong because there's no one right way.
No, there is not.
Okay, this is a story similar, Sabrina, that you said you read Tegan's story. Uh-huh. I have read this story to so many people.
It's such a creepy one. I know exactly what it is.
All right, this is from James. Hi, girls. Greetings from the UK. Love the podcast, but for anyone who's ever listened, that's a given. And also, I will say we originally read this. Oh, this is an early one, too. It was Encounters number 6.
Wow.
Okay, early days. Okay.
2018.
Anyways, I'll get straight to the story, as I'm sure you get hundreds of emails. Not at this point. This was very early. About 10 years ago, I was living in a flat in a large old townhouse in the city of Gloucester. It was a bit like a New York brownstone. I had one apartment above me and one below me, and I never had any supernatural experiences before this, and I was pretty much a skeptic. But what happened over these two nights completely turned me into a believer. Very late one evening, I was lying on my bed in the dark listening to some music on my headphones, and I should mention at this point that my room had pretty heavy wooden shutters, so it was completely pitch black. I was really tired and I was just beginning to nod off when I felt the weight of the bed shift, like someone had just climbed onto it. I kept my eyes shut and I mumbled something, assuming it was my boyfriend, whom I had left to sleep on the couch, and I continued to drift off. After a few more minutes, I rolled over onto my side to face the door, and I opened my eyes a little bit. It was then that I saw the light switch on under the door, and it dawned on me that my boyfriend was out in the hallway. I completely froze as I could still feel the bed tilting behind me where someone had climbed onto it. I was too scared to look around, but I quickly yanked out my earphones, and it was then that I realized I could hear breathing coming from behind me.
What?
I turned over slowly, my heart pounding, and that's when I saw it. There was a very tall man stood on the bed, looking down at me. The only light in the room was coming from under the door, so I couldn't see his features very clearly, but he had this long hair hanging down in a very large frame and seemed to be wearing something like a trench coat. I leapt up yelling. I tore out of the room to go get my boyfriend, who tried to calm me down and tell me that I must have just fallen asleep and dreamt it, but I was not convinced. The front door was locked and so were all of the windows, but I still was adamant that we had an intruder. I didn't even consider that it was a ghost until the next night when something even more terrifying happened.
I forgot about night one because night two is so
scary. Me too. I feel like when we reference this, we reference night two.
Yeah.
Night two. It took me ages to get to sleep the next night, and I, of course, insisted my boyfriend stay over after what happened previously. I woke up sometime as I was feeling nauseous, and I went to get up to go find some water. But as I tried to sit up, I hit my head on something. Again, the room was completely dark, and I put my hands up in front of me, and I could feel what I had hit. I found that I could barely raise my hands from where they were, and I was touching a hard surface above me, a bit like being in a coffin.
Nope.
I felt around in front of me, and there were these swirling patterns on it, and it seemed familiar for some reason. And I tried to push my way through, but it would not budge. I freaked out. I tried to shout to my boyfriend, but I could not get any noise to come out of my mouth. I started pounding on the surface above me and I began hyperventilating. I get claustrophobic at the best of times and I actually ended up passing out from fear. The next morning, I awoke and I put it down to a bad dream. My boyfriend said that he slept like a rock and he didn't notice me having any nightmares or anything. It wasn't until my upstairs neighbor knocked on the door that I realized what had happened.
Oh my God.
She asked if I was okay, because she said she heard me screaming and pounding on the ceiling the night before. She said she'd come down and she rang our doorbell, but we didn't answer. I walked in the bedroom feeling really freaked out, and I looked up at the ceiling, and there, all I could see were the swirl patterns in the plaster, just like what I had felt in the dark. I had been floating in midair under the ceiling. There was no way to reach the ceiling as this was an old building and the ceilings were very high. Even stood on the bed, I could not reach the ceiling. I went to a spiritual shop the next day for advice and I ended up buying a hell of a lot of sage.
Yep.
After that, nothing else happened. I tried to do some research on the history of the place, and the only thing that I could find out was that at one point it was a hotel. Anyway, that's my story. Thanks for reading. Stay spooked, girls. Keep up the awesome podcast. And this was sent from James.
James.
Back in 2018.
It still is absolutely horrifying because the fact that the upstairs neighbor was not impacted by this strange little bubble that was put over James and their partner, like the fact that James's partner didn't hear a thing, but the upstairs neighbor is hearing
right.
James scream and bang on the ceiling. And goes downstairs.
Even James's own perspective, James didn't think that he was able to get any noise out of his mouth. He felt like he was trying to scream, but nothing would come out. But that's not true.
But then it also makes me wonder, because over the years we've done so much or read so much and heard so much, that was this James's astral self? And I kind of hope it was, because the alternative of something lifting James up and keeping James's body held up at the ceiling is far more, one, mysterious, terrifying, and like, two, how? And what is this creature that is able to do that?
Well, and then it's also confusing because like, can our astral bodies, can we still feel everything the way that we would physically? Because it like James couldn't push past the ceiling either.
Right.
Like he was feeling the texture. He couldn't move past it. He was totally stuck like in a coffin, which is what you'd feel in your physical body. But then again, the neighbor heard, which maybe she's very sensitive. Maybe she heard astrally the...
I don't know.
It's still one of the scariest things I could ever picture myself experiencing.
Truly the alternative is this creepy ass trench coat, long haired creature man that James saw on night one is literally heavy weightlifting James up above his head in the air, holding James's body up to the ceiling.
Because that creature, like whatever that guy was, he was so tall too. And I also hate the fact that he felt the compression in the bed and then finally like got up the strength to look. And I feel like in most horror movies and stories that we hear, you often hear that someone's like sitting on the bed. And the worst case scenario you think is like someone laying on the bed looking at you. But I didn't consider something so giant and tall standing over you. Like what? There's nothing you can do in that situation if they want to get to you. Like you don't, there's no second that you can buy yourself. Like they have the upper hand the entire time.
To be fair, I think entities generally have the upper hand, or even like humans who sneak into your home, like have the upper hand because it's the element of surprise, which takes away.
But you just want the peace of mind. Like I still have a lot. By the time we're recording this, we have like 2 days until our book club on Patreon, and I haven't gotten very far in Akatar still because I have been a little bit under the weather and I keep falling asleep. But Farah, she says something in the book that reminds me of this, where she's talking about how she'd like set that blanket trap and they're like, what is a blanket gonna do?
Right.
She's like, well, at least it would give me the peace of mind to feel like it was doing something and I wouldn't die as quickly, or like, you know, I wouldn't.
You just get 1 second.
Yeah. Whether it makes any difference in whether I live or die, that doesn't matter. It's just her idea was like, she would at least be able to have enough time to like start to face away and try to run. Right. And so it wouldn't just be like staring at her death in front of her.
I'm so excited for you to finish the book so we can talk about it.
Well, as soon as we're done recording, I'm going to rip through it.
I haven't started book two yet because I don't want to read it and get confused of what happened in which book and then ruin anything for anyone.
Smart.
So the second we finish that book club, I will start that book.
Okay, me too, because I bought it. I bought the second one knowing that I would like the first one.
I have one to end us on, and it is called Bloody Mary Terrorized My Hometown. It is from our listener, Joey. Corinne, you know where this is going. We'll give zero indication, but it was read originally on Encounters. Oh, maybe it's episode? This might have been on like a full episode. It was episode 61, which we read October 21st, 2018.
Okay.
Hi, guys. I realized I forgot to tell you about how Bloody Mary terrorized my hometown of Roland Heights, California. When I was in fifth grade, my neighborhood and elementary school were stalked by Bloody Mary. It all started when a bunch of us learned of the urban legend and how to summon Bloody Mary. So a bunch of us thought it would be a spooky, fun idea. So after school, five of us Heather, Amanda, Sylvia, and Brenda stayed behind and went into the girls' bathroom. I, being the only boy of the group, paid more attention to how clean it was and how many stalls they had in there. Wow. Stalls that locked.
Privacy.
Yeah. For guys, we all know how terrible it is to have to poop in our restrooms because the stall locks were always broken. Anyway, we lit a candle, shut off the lights, looked into the mirror, and said her name 3 times, very slowly. At first, nothing happened, but after a few minutes of giggling, I screamed, which caused everyone else to scream and run out. When we got outside, I had a scratch on my arm. It didn't break skin and there was no bleeding, but it was enough to scare the shit out of all of us. We were terrified. The following day, the 5 of us met up during lunch and talked about what happened. We vowed we would never say that name again or even go into that same restroom anymore, which that part was easy for me. Later that afternoon, Amanda came back into the classroom from the bathroom break, crying and upset. When the teacher asked what had happened, she said that Bloody Mary had been written on the girls' restroom mirror in a different bathroom. Our teacher passed it on as a mean joke and comforted Amanda. But the next day, Brenda came to class with her mom. Her mom told the teacher that somebody had written Bloody Mary on Brenda's bedroom window from the outside. Brenda told us that she woke up to get ready for school and screamed when she saw what was written on her window.
Oh, and to feel like you're the one person out of the whole group that's targeted by Bloody Mary, even though you all did it together and you thought you were okay.
But it's not just Brenda. It was because the first one was Amanda in the bathroom at school, Brenda now at the window at home.
Oh, okay. So it's everyone in this group. It's a very Final Destination sort of situation.
And kind of like Scream, like the bad guy attacking this group of friends. Mm-hmm. Our teacher and principal decided to talk to our little group and ask what happened. We told them everything from sneaking into the bathroom after school to the scratch I got on my arm. I'm pretty sure they didn't believe us. I mean, we were 5th graders and the thought of a spirit haunting us and writing on mirrors and windows was pretty far-fetched. But it was still enough for our teacher to send our entire class home with letters to our parents about the incident, their investigation, and their assurance that they were doing everything that they could to make sure the students were not in danger.
So they wrote letters about their investigation into the kids' paranormal investigation.
Yes.
Everyone's investigating here.
I would love to see that letter. Like, I want to see what it says. After that conversation, nothing else happened. And after the year ended, we all split up. Some of us went to one middle school while others went to another. But we'd keep in touch and talk about what happened in 5th grade. Fast forward 12 years later, and thanks to social media, we all reconnected. And of course, the first thing we talked about was this experience. Well, my dearest Brenda, Amanda, Sylvia, and Heather, I was Bloody Mary. When we were in the restroom with all of the lights off, I scratched my own arm and acted out the performance of my life. I went on a bathroom break during class and went into another restroom and wrote Bloody Mary on the mirror. I also snuck out in the middle of the night and wrote on Brenda's window because we were neighbors. It was all me. I thought it was funny. It was October. I was filled with the Halloween spirit. So, Brenda, Amanda, Sylvia, and Heather, I officially apologize and hope we can finally put this mystery to rest. Love, Bloody Joey.
Oh my gosh. It's just as good as the first time.
I know.
I want to know, Joey, when you decided this was going to be a prank, was it once you were already in the room and all the lights were off and you were like, nothing's happening, should I just scratch myself? And then it just kind of was a waterfall trickle effect after that. Or was this planned? How premeditated was Bloody Joey?
Bloody Joey. I so badly want to hear from Brenda, Heather, Amanda, and Sylvia. Like, please email us.
For how long did those girls think that Bloody Mary was truly coming from them? How many people did they tell the story to? How did it affect their view of the paranormal? Like, were they ever questioning, like, is it someone within the group? Or did they wholeheartedly think Bloody Mary was after them? Joey, how did they respond to you? Are you friends? Did they forgive you?
My question is, though, did Joey actually, when they reconnected on Facebook and everything, did Joey actually admit to it? Or is the admittance this email? Because
right.
In the email, Joey says, so I officially confess. Joey confessed to us, not to them.
I mean, Joey, did you send them the podcast episode where we originally read yours? Like, oh, interesting story at the end of this.
We need to know more. Also, this is a great call to action. If you were ever Bloody Mary, or if you were ever the ghost, the spirit haunting people who were so convinced there was a paranormal encounter happening, please tell us. I think we could do a whole episode just with that. And we don't judge you. We understand there is a fun spirit in pranking people and pretending they're haunted.
It's part of the fun. That's why, yes, Halloween, I feel like the whole month of October kind of has this energy where it's like equal parts. Is it real? Is it not? Is this just for fun? Or am I truly terrified for my life? That's the beauty of ghost stories.
Why can't it all exist at once?
It does, right here on this podcast.
It does. You're right. We hope you enjoyed the retelling of some of our favorite encounters. We will do a part two because it was hard to pick. I like truly was battling myself.
Right.
Trying to pick just two to read. So we should do another one.
Absolutely. I agree. Well, you can support us in a variety of other ways. You can follow us on all of our social media accounts. You can watch us on YouTube. You can rate and review wherever you listen. And you can tell other people about us. That is, I feel like my eyes got really wide and intense as I said that.
Do it, please.
Do it. Or we'll astral project to you and put you up to the ceiling like James.
Yeah, we'll bully you and throw you into a ceiling.
We'll haunt you through bullying. We'll bully you through hauntings. That's what I was trying to say.
There we go. Yeah, and you don't want that.
No, or maybe you do. And let us know. Then we'll do it.
Still email us your ghost stories. Support us in all those ways. We have a lot of exciting things happening over on Patreon. We say it every episode at the end of the episode, but you can join our Most Haunted Frontier. It's just $5. It's the only tier we have. We have ad-free episodes that come out 1 week early. That's both video and audio versions. We have extra episode every month. We go live every single Tuesday night and bring people onto stage to tell their ghost stories to us in front of the other group of haunted people. We have book club. We have so many different things happening over there. When there's crazy paranormal news, sometimes we just hop on, get live, discuss with everyone. So Patreon's become a really great place for us to all hang out.
Thank you to our editor, Jamie, who produces and edits our audio and our video. We're very grateful for you. And thank you to all of you. Thank you so much for listening and continuing to support us. We love you all so very much.
And we will see you on the other side.